But we're going to be back in our series of He's in the Room. This is the fourth message in our series this morning. And before we go any farther, we're about to celebrate the birth of our nation. If you see, we honor the flag is over here, and it's not in front of the cross. It's in the shadow of the cross, because that's where we want our nation to be. And so, can we just pray for our nation before we start? Amen? Lord, we bring to you all the uncertain times that we are in. We bring to you all of these knowing that you are sovereign over everything, God. And we know that you can change things due to prayer and due to the people of God rising up and praying. Lord, so we ask that as a church, we would begin to affect our community like never before, and the Christians across our nation would begin to stand up for what is right and true and turn our nation to God. Lord, we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, again, we're back in the book of Daniel, chapter 6. You're welcome to turn there. Chapter 6 of the book of Daniel. And we've been in this series for 4 weeks, but we've finally reached the lion's den. The lion's den. Told that to a few people, and they had that thought of, oh, finally, we're finally here, because we all love that story. Kids learn that story from a young age. We love that story. But I want to come at you with some truth right out of the gate this morning. The moral of this story is not the deliverance from the jaws of death. It's the fulfilling of God's purpose. I'm going to say that again, because some of us need to be rocked by that a little bit. It's the moral of the story is not the deliverance from the jaws of death. It is the fulfilling of God's purpose. Because it doesn't matter what situation you are in, there are even greater things at work. It doesn't matter what the enemy has planned for you. God's plans cannot be stopped. I'm going to say that over you. Some of you might need to know that and let that resonate. It does not matter what the enemy has planned for you. God's plans cannot be stopped. And that's important to know in the context of our own lives, not just this story, because it's easy to focus on all that is happening around us. All that's happening around us, as if there's not a greater story unfolding. A greater story unfolding. As if the God of the universe isn't using you and isn't going to use your situation to work out of it good that affects the people around you. He's going to work out of it to be good. So we are to thank God in the midst of trials. Thank God in the midst of trials, because as we've seen throughout this series, He's in the room. He's in the room. And He's not only in the room, He's got a plan. He's got a plan. And someone who likes plans, because I don't like to just wing things as much as possible, I am thankful that God has a plan. He's not sitting up there and thinking, let's see what happens today and what we can fix. He's sitting up there and He's got a plan that has been carefully orchestrated out that you choose to be a part of. And no matter if you choose to be a part of it or not, His plan is going to succeed. He is sovereign over everything. Now, our story today, you could really say, is about laws and petitions. And why do I say that? Watch this. You have some bad men that make a petition to become a law. And you have a good man that begins to petition God in response to that law. Which in response to that petition, God supersedes man's law. And a petition to God can go beyond any earthly law and even the laws of nature. That was a lot to say this. God can do whatever He wants. God can do whatever He wants. So we realize that both what we do and what we pray matters. Yeah. We looked at that a little bit last week. But this week, I want to look at three things that Daniel did. Three things that Daniel did, if you're taking notes, 1, 2, 3, that helped him combat the situation that he's in. Because as I just mentioned, this situation is greater than Daniel. It's greater than Daniel. So at the same time, we're looking at what Daniel did that not only helped himself, but his people and his nation. And church, that's what we want. We obviously want to have things go well for ourselves, amen? But we want also to pray for the people around us, for our Christian brothers and sisters. This supersedes any ethnicity, background, anything. And then we want to pray for our nation to see it turned around, because God knows we need a turnaround. I'm going to say that again. God knows we need a turnaround. So we pray for our nation. But in order to do that, we need to look at three things. And let's start by reading the chapter 6 in the book of Daniel, 18 through 23. That's our main portion of today. Daniel chapter 6, verses 18 through 23. And I'll say this as you're turning there. If we want to see our nation changed, we need to see ourselves changed first. See ourselves changed first. So starting in chapter 6, verses 18 through 23. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early the next morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying, "Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him, because he believed in God. Do you believe in God this morning, church? Well, the first thing we need to look at is that we've got to rise up. And I don't mean a rebellion or doing things all on your own. I mean that the Holy Spirit can and will empower you to do more than what you are able. Verse 3 of this same chapter says this: "Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm." Now it says Daniel had an excellent spirit in him. Okay, it's not actually even talking about the Holy Spirit at this moment, but we read in previous weeks that he had the Spirit of God on him. But Daniel was blessed in many ways as a result of what we read a few weeks ago, that he separated himself out. It means that he abounded exceedingly in his mind and spirit. And that started when he separated himself out to be used by God. He was, by this time, at the age of about 83, and he was sharp and still making a difference. And it also says that he distinguished himself above all the other wise men. Church, a Christian should be one of the best workers you could hope to have. Should be the best workers you could hope to have. It says in verse 1 that it pleased Darius. Darius is the king. It pleased Darius. And so, church, if at all possible, you should bring joy to the people you work for or you work over. That's some practical things there that we see in the Bible. You should bring joy to the workplace. Darius put various men in charge, and that he wouldn't suffer loss, is what it says. And it reminds me of the story of Joseph, that whatever he did, it just seemed to be blessed and prosper. A person that brings in the Spirit of the living God with him will be blessed and prosper. We just read that in the Word. We saw it in the story of Joseph that I just mentioned. In prison, what he did was still being blessed and prospered. We see that in the book of Daniel. Everything he did was being blessed and prospered, even in the trials that he faced. And some of this is our God-given ability, but some of it is because God is using you to show the world who he is. Who he is. That's why we have to be constantly giving God all the glory. As a phrase I like to use when I pray is, "God, I don't want to rob you of any of your glory. I don't want to rob you of your glory. And so we have to think about that, what we're doing, making sure we give God all the glory. But when you're blessed and favored, it can often bring jealousy from people around you. You may be doing everything right, but you have to remember the enemy doesn't like that. He does not like that. He's going to try to tear you down. He doesn't want God's people to be blessed. And that's what we see is happening here. The other men sought to find something wrong with Daniel. It's important to have and to live a righteous life. Watch this. It is the highest testimony that not even your enemies can find something wrong with the way you live. It's important to note here, not even with the world's laws, as long as they don't go against God's laws. We're to obey the laws of our nation. If we looked at Daniel today, what would that look like? I think it would probably be something like this. I can't even find a speeding ticket on this guy. He pays his taxes, his HOA is fine with everything. He doesn't have any overdue library books. This guy is frustratingly righteous. Church, I know we can't be perfect, but we have to be mindful of how we're living. Because we represent God here on earth. Now, these other men came to the conclusion that they couldn't find anything wrong with Daniel unless it went against his God, his religion. Verse 5 says it this way, "Then these men said, 'We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God.'" There's two thoughts here. Number one, church, obey the laws and don't make Christians look bad. Don't make us look bad. I can't tell you how many times people from the world say that. I won't come to church because of there's some hypocrite that I know. And we all know we're not perfect. You've heard that before. Like there's, you go to the gym and you want to see people that are out of shape there because they're getting in shape. And so we're working out here all these things. Jesus is working all those things out of us. And then number two, rise up and stand for what is right according to God's word. God's word is the standard, the final. Church, hold the line. Hold the line of what God's word says. Daniel rose up through the ranks of business and through government because he was called to a higher standard of living. And a standard of living like that can protect you. Obeying God's word protects you. Obeying God's word protects you. But also, he was called to be used by God. Church, God wants to use you. God wants to use you. All of us are called to be more like God, but if you have a public platform of any type, be extra careful. God might use you in government, in business, in schools, wherever you are, but make sure, church, listen to this. Make sure you don't have hidden sin or something in your life that will be exposed and possibly turn people from God. The Holy Spirit, though, will empower you to bring all of that to Jesus. He will empower you to stand when no one else is standing, and he wants to empower you to live like Jesus. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Daniel wasn't prepared to lower his flag and give up when threatened by trouble, and neither should you. Church, do not surrender. Do not surrender. If Daniel, watch this, if Daniel could be stabbed in the back, talked about, schemed over, manipulated, and thrown into a den of lions, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. That mean person at work, God can move their heart too. If he can shut a mouth of a lion, he can shut up someone else. In verse 6 and 7, we see Daniel's enemies get together. They get together to scheme against him. They want to make a law that doesn't allow for the prayer and worship of God. And the result of that disobedience to that law is to be thrown into a lion's den, a closed pit, with a rock over it and a seal from the king and probably some other officials that this cannot be opened. This cannot be changed. I want to note here, I love this thought. These men, they worshiped a lot of the god of fire. It was a big thing in their worship. But I think back to another story, and they decided not to throw Daniel in a fire because that wasn't going to work. I want you to think about that for a moment. Your enemies will get creative because the longer you walk with the Lord, the more miracles they will see and the plans they have to change. In verse 8 and 9, we see the king is manipulated into thinking that this new law is good for him and good for the country. And church, that's a good lesson because that's what our real enemy does as well today. He tricks people that might not even mean harm or know about it into thinking that the things that go against God are good. They might not even realize what they're doing, but they're being manipulated by the evil one. We have to remember that. That's why our prayers are spiritual. Our weapons of warfare are spiritual, not carnal, but they are mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. And that's why it is important to rise up for what is right. Speak out truth. Even be involved in government if God calls you to that. And at the bare minimum, church, vote. Get out and let's save our nation. And on the flip side of that, we too can be used by the enemy. That's why we must bring everything to God. We must bring everything to God. The easiest way to do that, church, is to just walk with God. If you don't leave his counsel, it's a lot harder to make bad decisions. So we see that that's the type of man Daniel was. He rose up without doubting God and stood for what was right and true. Church, we must stand for our families. We must stand for our Christian brothers and sisters, and we must stand for our nation if we want those three areas to be saved, to be changed. We have to stand up. We have to rise up. Daniel would rather face death than give up his freedom to worship and pray. I say that again. Daniel would rather face death than give up his freedom to worship and pray. I'm going to follow that up with a question. How important is prayer and worship to you? Would you rather face death than give that up? Verse 10. Daniel knew the writing was signed. The first thing Daniel did when encountering trouble was to pray. So Daniel rose up. We must rise up. And then he prayed up. We must pray up. That's the second point. Rise up, pray up. Verse 10 says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days." His upper room was a room. It wasn't on top of a roof. It probably had some lattice or something that when he opened the windows, the breeze came in. But we have to realize that it was a room because the depth of the conspirators here. I want you to think about that. He's in a room. He's in a room. And they had to wait and watch secretly to see into this room when he was finally praying. They gathered enough men, and when he finally knelt down and started to pray, maybe they could hear him. Maybe that was it. They all rushed in and said, "We got you. You have broken the law." And they took him to the king. Said they took him hastily. They hastily ran in, grabbed him, and took him. Now, scholars think they did this in the afternoon because, get this, they didn't want to do it in the morning when the king would have a whole day to think about how to save him. Let's do it in the afternoon, we can get things done, and then we have to throw them in the den of lions before anything can be changed. They really thought this out. They were going to kill Daniel. Daniel, though, was accustomed to regular prayer. We're going to get into why that's important. He went home to pray because that's what he did anyways. It's what he did anyways. It wasn't a special, God, I need you to get me out of this moment. Have you ever prayed those? What's ironic here is Daniel probably just started praying about the thing he got arrested for. The thing he got arrested for. But that's good because watch this. There was already prayer going up. God was already on the move. Do you see the importance of regular prayer? Watch this. You can pray about things you're about to walk through and not even know it. Because the Holy Spirit will lead you into prayer. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, it says, around 9 a.m., noon, and 3 p.m. That's what they guess. So morning, afternoon, and sometime for the evening for him. But he had spent the last 60 years in consistent prayer. I'm going to pause that. 60 years, 3 times a day. Praying and being close to God in the good times prepares you for praying and being close to God in the bad times. Watch this. The older he got, the closer he got. God, I want that for my life. His retirement included serving his people and serving his God. He continued to pray for his people, for his nation. We never reach an enough moment with God. We never reach that moment where I've had enough, I think I'm done. There's not any more of God to discover. The older we get, the closer we should be. Daniel didn't open the windows to be seen. That was just his custom. He opened them because to him, that's where God dwelt. He would face Jerusalem, the place where he knew God was. God tarried. He would open his windows for that. But it was his custom to do so. It must be our custom to pray. Watch this. If it feels weird to pray at home, with your family, somewhere else, it's honestly just because we don't pray enough. That can be hard to hear. I can preach that to myself because sometimes it's awkward to pray on occasion. And I have to pray all the time with people. But I know it's just because I need to pray more. The more you do it, the more you get used to it. But there is a level of humility that comes with prayer. And that's why we see Daniel here on his knees, because sometimes our heart needs to reflect the position our body is in. And sometimes I get in a position with my body that I just want my heart to be in. I can often tell the position of my own heart by my own willingness to do something. We talked about that a little bit last week. But Daniel did not just pray, he also gave thanks. It's about to get real up in here. In a time when he knew he was in trouble and things were about to go downhill really fast, he gave thanks. A great way to invite God into the room is to be prayed up, ready to stand up, and to constantly give thanks. Now, I meet with one of my mentors is Dr. Don, and when I'm complaining to him, he often just stops and says, "Have you given thanks? Church, have you given thanks this morning?" 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Psalms 34:1, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Some of us need to start thanking more, because thankfulness also allows us to walk in more joy. Do you need joy this morning, church? It's hard to be negative, fearful, worrisome when you're being thankful. A heart that is thankful is able to walk through hard circumstances. I'm going to say that again. You might need that this morning. A heart that is thankful is able to walk through hard circumstances. Daniel knew the promises of God. It's a lot easier to be thankful, a lot easier to be prayed up when we know the word. We know the promises of God. If you're struggling today to be thankful, especially in a hard circumstance, begin to read the word, begin to worship and be thankful. And I guarantee you, it'll change your perspective. I guarantee you, Daniel prayed more than he worried. Daniel prayed more than he worried. Now, even though Daniel had prayed, the way was not clear. Can you relate to that? Even though Daniel prayed, the way was not clear. Most of us in his position would be praying that the law was overturned, or the king would somehow grant mercy or reverse everything, and there's nothing wrong with those prayers. I probably would be praying that too. But often, God has planned to deliver you in a way you might not see, and church, a way that you might not want. Can anybody give amen to that? But church, you are called to be faithful to that nonetheless. You might not see it. In fact, God might plan to let you go into the pit because he's going to bring you out of it. Yeah. Come on. Well, this side's getting it over here. He's going to bring you out of the pit. He's allowing you to partner with him for a miracle. He's allowing you to do it. The king could not reverse this decree because he would have looked weak. He could not change the law. He spent all night trying to figure out a way. He was sleepless, it says in verse 18. And that's sometimes us. We lose sleep, we lose time over things that God has already planned for. God gives rest more than he gives deliverance. I'm going to let you pause on that moment and think about it. He gives rest more than he gives deliverance, because he gives rest before you enter in the trial. He gives rest while you're in the trial. And then when he delivers you, it's so you can rest. Look for the rest of God. He gives rest. Here's an example from my own life. I have two children, which I love, but they are loud. And my son seems to just enjoy screaming. He's very, very strong-willed. And I am a light sleeper. Do we have any of those in the room? And so if any noise happens at all during the night, I am awake. And so I have learned to connect with the Holy Spirit in such a way that I just pray, God, is there anything wrong? And if I don't feel anything, I go back to sleep. And as a parent, sometimes you wake up and you wonder, do I need to go check? And I think, no, God's got this. And on other occasions, yeah, I think he would tell me to go in the other room. Check. We might only get the rest we need when we put to rest the rest of our problems by giving them to God. I'm going to say that again. We might only get the rest we need when we put to rest the rest of our problems by giving them to God. So Daniel has been raised up where God has purposed him to be, and he has been prayed up for what is about to happen. Now he's about to be shut up in the lion's den. When it feels like we're being shut up, church, and don't be offended by this, but we need to learn to shut up and let God work. Some of us can talk so much that we don't give God chances to speak. And this doesn't say that Daniel struggled or raised his voice in opposition, because he had already taken his stand. He had already done what was right. Now he would wait on God. We need to learn to wait on God. And I can preach that to myself probably every day. Wait on God. But let me tell you, the self-control that Daniel had here, for most of us, would probably be the first miracle. You getting that? It would probably be the first miracle, but he trusted God that much. Next, Daniel was then cast in. He was thrown into a lion's den. He was 83 years old. That's the next miracle, I think, that nothing broke. And he's 83, thrown into a den of lions, and he was perfectly fine. Because God was already at work. God was already at work. And church, you need to know that. If you're looking at a trial or something you're in, something that's coming down the road, you know it. He's already at work. He's already at work. You see, the king knew about Daniel's God. Verse 16, so the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you, whom you serve continually. Daniel's faithfulness sparked faith in an unbeliever for a miracle. Your faithfulness is the groundwork for miracles to take place. God works in your faith. He works through your faith. God is the deliverer. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. 2 Samuel 22:2, he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Psalm 40:17, as for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, oh my God. Church, God is the deliverer this morning. He is your deliverer this morning. He's your deliverer. So when that stone is rolled over the pit of your life, your fate seems sealed like the king's seal, and you feel like you're about to be devoured, remember 1 Peter 5:8-11. Be sober, mindful, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Church, God's plan isn't just to deliver you, it's to deliver the people around you. Sometimes that means you're going into a pit. Hallelujah, God has planned for that, and people will see it and turn to the living God. God was about to use the faithfulness of one man to encourage the faithfulness of a nation. This is literally Daniel's prayers being answered. Praying for his people, praying for his nation, praying for the nation that he was in, brought him into a pit of lions. We are often the answer to the prayers we are praying, if we will follow our prayers with faithfulness. Daniel rose up. And he prayed up. He stood up for what was right. But church, prayer is not enough if you're not willing to back it up with action. So if all you do is pray, if all you do is pray for our valley, but you don't witness, it is not enough. If all you do is pray for our nation, but you don't do anything to affect change, it is not enough. Sometimes the trials we walk through are the miracles and answers that we've been praying for. Church, don't discount your problems. They could be the solutions you've been asking for. The place you're in right now could be God's grace on your life, and you don't even know it. The place you're in right now is God's grace on your life. So the king comes running out in the morning, verse 20. And when he came to the den, He cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying, Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Church, he had been worried all night. But in the morning, he proclaims God as the living God. So in the night, the day before, it was Daniel's God. But in the morning, he has decided that it is the living God. Something happened in the mind of the king that night. Living here means alive, powerful, active, awesome, almighty, in contrast to the dead idols. And I'm not saying the king came to know the Lord that night, but I am saying he received a revelation of who God was, because every trial you walk through is an opportunity for a new revelation of God. And that's one way you can know joy in a trial. You are learning who God is. And Daniel calls back in verse 22. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Church, God will shut the mouth of the enemy. It'll shut the mouth of the enemy. It doesn't say Daniel didn't go into the pit. He slept in the presence of lions, but he was really sleeping in the presence of the Almighty God. And that's why he could rest. When we have the courage to shut up and let God work, he will shut up the mouths of our enemies. Watch this. Daniel's innocence was proven. He didn't have to fight for it to vindicate himself. Church, the Lord will vindicate you. The Lord fights for you. And that's a promise that you can test. Verse 22. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him. That's Daniel. And commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him, because he believed in his God. Daniel was taken up out, no injury found on him, because he believed in God. Church, believe in God this morning. Believe in him. And I'm not just meaning that there is a God. Believe that this is him. This is him, and he wants a personal relationship with you. And that means every day. The Bible equates it to be a lot like a marriage relationship, in the sense that you are with someone all the time. You are with the Lord because he is with you. You bring him in the room wherever you go. We all walk through trials. Our families do, our communities do, our nation sure does. So we need to rise up and prepare to be seen as people with an excellent spirit in us, people that our enemies can't find fault in. Colossians 3:23 and 24, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. We need to pray up. We must be people of prayer with a heart for others. Church, do you have a heart for other people? If we want to see things truly change, we have to have a heart for other people. And then we take every opportunity to change things, to pray. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. You receive that for our nation this morning. And then we need to be prepared. Prepared sometimes to shut up and let God work. Let God speak. Give room for the Lord to work. Let God vindicate us. Let God give us rest as we wait on him. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I invite the worship team to come. the prayer team to come. I'm going to ask everyone across this room if you are able to stand with me now. And maybe you feel like you are in a pit. Maybe there is no way out and you need a deliverer. Then come and meet with the Lord. If you need someone to pray with, our prayer team's here. Maybe you've been too afraid to stand up for what is right. You've just let things slip and you haven't held to the standard of the word. And you want to get that right in your mind and in your heart, and you want the Holy Spirit to embolden you to do all these things. Maybe you need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Then I want you to come and pray. Or maybe you have been stressed and worried about things that you cannot change, and you want to realize and admit to God that He is working and you are going to give it to Him. I'm opening up the altars for all of that, but also, as we're about to celebrate our nation's birth, if you have just a pulling on your spirit to pray for our nation this morning, like Daniel prayed and changed things, then I'm going to invite you to come and pray for our nation. The worship team starts to play. I'm going to open up the altars now and say that it's time to stand up and see a shift in our families, in our valley, and in our nation, that God wants to move, and let's let Him work. Amen? Amen. Come if you need prayer.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.